The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
All right, welcome into a numbers game. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Serrallo, still in for Gil Alexander on a well-deserved vacation. Kelly, at this point, is it still a vacation or has Gil relocated? I mean, has anyone heard from Gil in the last week and a half?
That's a good point. I've talked to him a couple times. I mean, he's bouncing around. He's doing his usual couple weeks after the Super Bowl where he's all over the place a bit. So I can't actually answer the question of what city is he currently
in. He could be off the grid in Costa Rica for
all
we
know
right now.
Yes, he really could.
He could be living his best life, just sipping his morning coffee, monkeys swinging tree to tree in the background behind him.
He does his annual Miami Beach. So, like, he hits Miami I think that's been done already. Yeah,
is he in a Club 11 guy or a Club Space guy?
That's a great question. We'll have to ask about when he gets back.
I mean, Space.
He looks like a Club Space guy to me.
I could see him doing an all-nighter at Space just for the mimosas and the brunch if you make it to Sunrise.
Joe, you've derailed us already. I think I've been in Club Space twice. I lost someone in there one night. It was one of the worst nights of my life. We could not find each other.
You lost, did you show up with her or did you meet her there?
I showed up with her. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then you lost.
Yeah, and then I lost.
Sounds like prom.
It was a problem. It was a problem, bro. It was a problem.
You know what was a problem last night? Here. This is the segue because it's a sports show, technically, even though there's no sports this week. UConn's first half was a big problem last night. The Huskies taking on Villanova. They end up getting there in the second half, outscoring them 40-25 in the final 20 minutes of work. No cover for UConn. A lot of people were on the Huskies -8, -9. What's up with Dan Hurley's team, man? I mean, this is a team that I think Will Hill, who actually came out and gave out UConn yesterday on the program, had the funniest tweet I saw. He goes, UConn can still get the three-peat if they win the NIT. Because this is a team that, I mean, they're going to get in the tournament based on reputation and whatnot, back-to-back champs, obviously. They don't look like a tournament team.
Yeah. This was a struggle. Man, we were sitting on the show yesterday and watching this number kind of fly up, taking up a lot of bets. UConn was, comes back down, closes 8.5, and yeah, can't get there again, man.
Just a really disappointing showing from this team. A lot of big college hoops action. It was a jam-packed Tuesday slate. Only one play on my end. Didn't get there with Texas A&M. First half looked good. They were controlling the tempo. The Aggies were setting the pace really well, up 31-30 at the break. And then second half just completely got away from this Buzz Williams team. And, you know, this A&M team, it's a team that it needs to shut you down on defense. Their offense is not really going to compete. I believe for KPOM ratings, they're just 40th in offensive efficiency. So not terrible, but certainly not in the top tier, not in the upper echelon. And that second half, they got outscored 40-23 in Starkville by Mississippi State. It was the Hubbard show. He finishes with 25 for the Bulldogs. The Aggies lose by 16. That was the lone play of the day for me. But other SEC action, the Florida Gators. I feel like, you know, everyone's talking about Auburn and Alabama. The Gators are quietly ranked second. They jump Duke. They jump Bama. And Kelly, they're sitting there 23-3. Straight up, maybe more impressively, 18-7 against the number.
Yeah, this is if this team becomes really real, Joe, this is going to be a really long March and April for me, based off of friends and family that went to this school. Yeah, it's Gators having success is never fun for me, never fun. But they are, like you're saying, every time I turn them on, they look damn impressive, and they looked like that again last night.
Is everyone who went to that school just obnoxious, or is it just me?
No, they all. I will go unbiased. Everybody who went to Florida, Florida State, and Miami are all obnoxious.
Okay.
I'm not going to say
I feel
the
like
Florida
the Miami
State
crowd is fun, but I don't know. Maybe it's because they're pretentious. I'm a little pretentious. So maybe we just gel in that. I mean,
yeah, that makes sense. That totally checks out.
Florida State. I actually went to high school with a kid who went to Florida State. Now he's a doctor. I don't know. I would personally, if I saw my doctor went to Florida State, I'd probably be like, I'm going to find a new doctor.
Yeah, might be a good call.
Keeping it moving in the college hoops world. Houston gets there with the cover at Arizona State. Big first half from the Cougars. You know, this is a squad under Kelvin Sampson that we all know every year Houston's going to defend. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be a top five, if not the number one defense in the country. This team, two things about them. They're not prone to let down spots like they typically have been in recent years. I mean, you look at them in conference play, they're 14-1 straight up in the Big 12. This was a conference where they were going to have to compete with Iowa State, who still is nothing to scoff at. I mean, they, you know, they're the eighth ranked team in the country. They had a big win over Colorado last night, but Houston has had no issue running through the Big 12. Iowa State can't keep up with them. As good as they are, they're certainly a tier beneath them. Kansas, we'll get to them in a minute. They're an absolute bleep show over there in Lawrence. Just a total disgrace the Jayhawks are. This Houston team, you know, I've drank the Kool-Aid on them in the past. I've picked them in March Madness to win it all in the past, and they've let me down at one point or another. This could be the team that does it because they shoot better than any Kelvin Sampson team I've seen. And like I said, they're not prone to that letdown spot.
Yeah, so the top of the futures board would tell us there's a few different tiers, right? You've got Auburn and Duke up by themselves in kind of tier one, and then it's Florida, Houston, and Bama that are kind of all right near each other. You think those three teams belong kind of that second tier and are the next biggest threats of those two at the top?
I mean, absolutely. And I'd actually have had Bama in tier one up until Saturday, and then Auburn went to Tuscaloosa and handled them pretty well in a game Bama was favored in.
Mm.
So prior to that game on Saturday, I'd have been leaning Bama tier one. I still think they can get there. I mean, who's to say, you know, they meet up in the SEC tournament championship game or whatever. Who's to say Bama can't get there? What I love about this Alabama team, and we'll have more on them shortly because they're one of my four best bets tonight. A lot of college hoops action this evening for me. Not only are they the number one scoring offense in the country, Kelly. Now, they're not the most efficient team. They rely heavily on volume. But for a team that relies heavily on volume, it's important to crash the boards. Right? Because if you're not making a large percentage or a large chunk of your shots,
got to clean them up,
get your second chance opportunities. Bama does that just about as well as anyone. Number two nationally in points per game, number one in boards per game. So that's a pretty lethal combo, I would say, for a team come March. And I believe, you know, we've got the KenPom criteria of teams that are, I don't have it off the top of my head. I know someone was actually tweeting it at the show. And I think you have the tweet right in front of you, if I'm not mistaken, where you have to be top 20 in offense, top 20 in defense. There's a certain criteria for strength of schedule and whatnot.
Yeah.
I believe Alabama, although no, maybe on defense they wouldn't fit that. Is that a red? Is there red next to Bama?
The red would be with the head coach with Sweet 16 experience. That's usually where they stuff.
But Bama's got that.
I'm sorry, I'm reading long line. It is the defense, yes.
Oh, it's the defense. Okay.
Yeah, I was
going to say Bama got their Sweet 16 experience last year.
Yeah, I was reading
Florida doesn't have that. Okay. How many schools, I'm curious, I don't know if you could tally it up. What are we at, six schools that fit all the criteria? I think the craziest one as you go far down the line was Maryland might fit all of the criteria.
That's interesting. We brought that up last week. Remember we were talking about Dinsick betting that last week. So, yeah.
Yeah, right. And I think they went to Nebraska, and I think Dinsick said he would lay – or they were – were they laying a point and a half? I think they were catching a point and a half, and they won the game outright in Lincoln. But I think Maryland is probably the school on that list that ranks the lowest but fits all the criteria. There's one school on that list, man. It fits all but one criteria. And
there's a lot of those, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a lot, but there's one that I think I'm going to bet today right after the show. And Circa, last I saw, has the best price on this team at 125-1. So I might have to get in on the Clemson Tigers. What's the one criteria they lack? Is it defense?
This would be 27th? Yeah, defense for them. Yep.
Right, but all right. So the criteria, you got to be top 20. Think about it. They're 27th. They got a few games. They could work their way into the top 20. And then, boom, they fit all the criteria after that, right? They've got a lot of returning players. They've got the power forward, the white kid who's been there, who was instrumental in their last NCAA run to the Elite Eight. I think this Clemson team's frisky. 125. Now, this is why you got to shop around. I think I saw DraftKings was 60-1 on Clemson. And then right behind us at Circa here, 125-1.
Yeah.
So you always got to shop around because, I mean, you're talking that's not just a minor difference. That is a ridiculous difference.
Yeah, really is. I mean, you can find those two when it gets the longer odds. So like you said, yeah, make sure you're shopping around. And I know when Gil gets back, he'll be looking forward to getting into the college basketball formulas and everything like that for the tournament.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I will say with college hoops, there aren't too many formulas and whatnot that I pay attention to. That system is a big one.
Yep.
Those criteria, that's massive. Big Ten action. Michigan State got there. I'm glad I stayed away from this one. I was intrigued by Purdue catching as many as four. And Sparty got there, laying 3.5, laying 4, depending where you shop. 75-66. Just really controlled the pace there. Didn't let the Boilermakers get much going at all on the offensive side of things. 13th ranked Purdue, 14th ranked Michigan State. battle of a couple teams atop the Big Ten. You know, I don't know how to figure this Big Ten too much. Wisconsin, 11th ranked team in the nation. They blew Illinois out. I mean, this is an Illinois team. One night looks like they can hang with anyone. The next night, they look absolutely lost in space. They lose by 21 in Madison. I don't think there's a team in the Big Ten that I look at and I say, come March, they scare me. I could see the Big Ten almost being, you know, out of it by the Sweet 16, maybe one team in the Sweet 16.
That's interesting. Yeah, these conference odds are pretty tight too, right? Michigan minus 135, Michigan State plus 210, Wisconsin 7-1, Maryland 14-1 to win the regular season conference. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if Michigan State might be worth a play there. I got to make sure. I got to check, see if they have Michigan left on the schedule, because I think the Wolverines got the best of them their last time out head-to-head. You know, now there's so many teams in every conference that you don't know who's playing who twice. You don't know when they're playing next. But if you look at the standings there, Michigan 12-2, Michigan State 12-3. But I think they lose the tiebreaker there. I don't know, though. Getting Izzo at longer than 2-1. They closed the yep, just as I thought. They closed the year with Michigan. Oh, no, they haven't played Michigan yet at all.
Yeah, they have them twice. Yeah.
Wow. They got a little bit of a rough go at Maryland, home against Wisconsin. So yeah, definitely tough. A tougher schedule. That explains the 2-1 odds. Folks, we've got a great guest list coming at you for the remainder of the show. More College Hoops with our friend Jim Root in just about 20 minutes over at the Three-Man Weave, of course. Hour 2, going to talk NBA with VSiN's own JVT. Of course, Michael Montesano going to break down some NBA awards with us, as well as college basketball futures on top of that. It's a hoops-heavy show. God knows it's all we got going on this week, really. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Serrallo. Stay locked into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a numbers game here on VSiN. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Serrallo. A lot of college hoops to get to this week. The NBA also returning, Kelly, tonight. The Lakers taking on the Charlotte Hornets. As you so astutely pointed out yesterday, this game, a rescheduling of the one that was canceled a little over a month ago, I guess now approaching 5-6 weeks ago, due to the LA wildfires. Because we were looking at this and I was going, why the hell, I'm scratching my head, why the hell is there a random Lakers Hornets game on a Wednesday night coming back from the All-Star break? Like, you're going to come back, if you're going to have one game, I mean, make it freaking Thunder Cavs, make it a game that's worth watching. But Lakers Hornets, so I completely forgot about that game that was canceled 5-6 weeks ago. Great point out on your end. Are we seeing anything? I know it's so early in the day, and this is why I hate betting the NBA. Are we seeing anything with injury reports yet?
Not really, except for this is when you come back from a break like this and everybody's basically listed questionable. Like, if anybody's slightly, dinged up with anything, or possibly dealing with a late flight returning from vacation or something, it's like questionable. Look, LeBron didn't play in the All-Star game, so that's going to be the big one to watch out for today. He is, it looks like a true questionable heading into this game. Everybody else upgraded to probable at this point. So Dorian Finney-Smith, Gabe Vincent on the Lakers side look like they will go. LaMelo Ball upgraded on the Charlotte side, looks like he will go. Without knowing the status of LeBron James, that is a big factor when you're going to handicap the Lakers, obviously, every single time that they go to play. I'm really interested to see once, probably going to have to wait until we get word on LeBron for this, but waiting to see if we get team totals. We've talked about all the different ways we're looking to play the Lakers or play against the Lakers. I do think this is a good spot against not a great defense on the Charlotte side to look to possibly play a team total over on the Lakers if LeBron goes. Actually, even if he doesn't, at Luka's minutes are supposed to be, there's not supposed to be any restriction on Luka minutes going forward. So that
26.5 on the points for Luka.
Okay.
Did you go over on that?
Yeah, I'd probably wait till I knew what was going on with LeBron, right? And no LeBron, probably, over 26.5.
Right, I'm thinking no LeBron, that number is going to be 28.5 for the blink of an eye, right?
Yeah, probably. You got to wait and see with that. I think if LeBron goes, team total over, a good look here. And if he doesn't, maybe it's Luka's point prop over. I think that's a good look.
And if you want to try to beat the market, because obviously Luka's point prop going to go up, maybe you look towards a points and assists right now, 33.5, because that would go up, I'd imagine, if LeBron is out. But even if LeBron plays, you got the points and assists aspect there, so you can you can kind of, you know, if Luka's distributing or if he's scoring, you can make money from both sides there.
Yeah, the one, and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get into Western Conference win totals later in the show, but I was the one thing I feel like I've heard confusing breakdowns of the Lakers with is that people are using a lot of the Lakers stats from kind of beginning of the year, January 1, because they've been really good recently. Yeah, it's 14-6 over that time, almost a +7 net rating in non-garbage time minute. It is the fourth best in the NBA. That's great. I hear a lot of people bringing this up, but it's like they forgot just a couple weeks ago they completely overhauled this team. So I would only say if you're really high on the Lakers right now, you got to pump the brakes a little bit and see what exactly this new look Lakers team is going to look like long term once Luka and LeBron really get in there. I expect that it's going to be fine. Yes, I think there's going to be defensive and rebounding issues during the course of the regular season. I do think they are a very dangerous team once they get into the playoffs, but just be able to sift through a lot of the noise out there around this team. This is going to be a very, very different team with all the major changes that they had to make. So I caution anybody going a little too crazy. I feel like a lot of national media have heard, like, Lakers, they're playing great, and they got Luka. And it's like, well, yeah.
Well, the national media, I mean, they're still talking about Jerry Jones on a nearly daily basis. So,
and
you know.
Anthony Davis also left, and that was your big defensive stopper. So, yeah.
Right. And this Charlotte team, not quite as bad defensively as I feel like a lot of people think. I mean, you know, in terms of points per game, and that doesn't tell the entire story, of course, but opponents' points per game allowed, they're top 10.
Mm.
I don't think anyone would expect the Charlotte team to be top 10 in that category. The Lakers, of course, come in at 12th, but like Kelly just said, that's a different Lakers team that's coming in at 12th. Anthony Davis contributes that. Luka Doncic, not so much. So, I mean, I don't know what the Hornets are. Are you seeing a team total out there for Charlotte?
I don't think they're posted yet. I just checked a couple places. There was not anything that I saw. The one that's the interesting factor in this game tonight, I believe Mark Williams will be playing in this game tonight for the Charlotte Hornets. And yeah. Remember, he was supposed to be a Laker. So, that'll be an interesting side narrative to keep your eye on.
And what happened with that? Wasn't there an appeal with that trade where they tried to have it go through, like Charlotte appealed to try to have it go through post-deadline?
Tell me how that works out, Joe. It's the, okay, we agree to a trade. The team I'm sending the guy to does physicals and goes, whoa, this ain't going to work out. And then and then he gets sent back to Charlotte, and then Charlotte's like, wait, but we agreed to something.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Like, no, Charlotte, man, like, this is not how it works. Like, they got to pass physicals. And I mean, from some of the reports, it was not just one concern
pretty
with Mark
glaring,
Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah, multiple concerns.
Wild. Folks, if you're looking to bet smarter, you need to start with Smarter Insights. Right now, head over to VSiN.com. You can check out great articles like Adam Burke's NL West Preview, Greg Peterson's Best Bets in College Hoops, and later today, you'll have Best Bets in the NBA from our guy, Zach Cohen. To get access to all those articles on VSiN.com right now, sign up for as little as $9.99. for your first 30 days. Just head to vsin.com/subscribe to sign up now. A lot of college hoops action going on tonight. You know, Kelly, it's funny. I mean, I don't know who pointed it out yesterday. Was it Will Hill or was it Drew Dinzik about the college hoops schedule? How it's really Mondays are pretty bare. Yeah. Sundays are pretty bare. Fridays are atrocious. And then, boom, you get to, obviously, Saturday, 120-plus games. But then Tuesday, Wednesday are just these loaded slates. And this Wednesday slate, definitely more games than we had yesterday. But yesterday, a lot of top 25 action, a lot of interesting games. Just in terms of volume, this Wednesday slate's coming in heavy. Got four best bets tonight.
This goes back just overall the scheduling point, though. This goes back to what we were complaining about like last week with the NBA NHL scheduling, right? It's like everybody's so concerned about the NFL,
spread it out,
but then when it's over, like why don't you have it marked with a big red circle on your schedule of when the NFL's done, because then you can open up the scheduling back up. I'm with you. The days of the week things never made a ton of sense with college basketball.
No, I mean, you know, I guess it's a travel thing, and these kids do still have class, even though, I mean, how often they go to class depends on the school.
Fridays and Sundays make sense to me. How about that? So I don't get Mondays.
Well, yeah, because Saturday is the big game day.
Right, yeah.
And then I guess, yeah, they don't want to play, you know, two games in 3 days too often.
Yeah.
So if you're playing on a Friday, you'll play Monday, hence the light slates both days. But Tuesday, Wednesday, we get down to business. I've got, you know, we've talked about this a couple times over the last week and a half. You zone in on a couple mid-major conferences, pay attention to the trends, try to follow those leagues, and then attack them when appropriate. I've got two games in the Missouri Valley Conference, two of my four plays in the Missouri Valley, and we're starting with Illinois-Chicago, catching 10.5 at Drake. Kelly, do you know the mascot for the University of Illinois at Chicago?
Oh, man, I actually feel like I should. No, I don't. I'm going to go with Bulldogs, though. How about
that? That's Drake, the home team.
Okay, I have no idea.
I mean, when in doubt, Bulldogs, Wildcats.
Wildcats.
Yeah, exactly. What is this, High School Musical? Go Wildcats. Illinois-Chicago, the Flames.
Oh, now, yeah, that's right.
Look, they failed to cover five straight, but they were only underdogs in two of those five. They're catching 10.5 here in this game. They're still, despite their struggles in their last five games, they're still 11-5 against the number this season as dogs, 9-2 against the number on the road. They also have beaten this Drake team that has just three losses in conference play. One of them is Illinois-Chicago outright. New Year's Day, Drake was a six-point favorite. The Flames beat him 74-70. Drake, 8-11 against the number as favorites, but just 4-8 on their home court. And as double-digit favorites, which they are here in this spot, 0-5 as double-digit favorites. Now, biggest reason for that, Kelly? This Drake team plays at a slower pace than just about anyone in the country. One of the best defensive teams in the country. They don't score a whole lot. It's hard to cover double-digit numbers when you're not scoring a whole lot, when you're playing a slow pace, when you're using the entirety of the 30 seconds that you get on the shot clock. Illinois-Chicago is a little different. They do up the tempo a bit, but I mean, you have to imagine at home, this Drake team being a team that's probably going to come in about an 11 seed or a 12 seed in the tournament. They're a really good team. If Drake is going to control the tempo, they probably win the game, but I don't see them winning by double digits. Give me Illinois-Chicago catching 10.5. Other Missouri Valley action, taking Bradley, -1 at Illinois State. Kind of similar Illinois State to Illinois-Chicago, fast up-tempo team. They like to get hot from beyond the arc. The thing is, everything Illinois State does well, Bradley does it better. The only thing that worries me with Bradley a little bit here is the fact that, well, they're on the road. They're at Redbird Arena, home of the Redbirds, if you didn't know the mascot there, Kelly. But Illinois State, up-tempo team, you know, they shoot the ball in volume, so does Bradley. Bradley shoots it more efficiently. You know, everything Illinois State does, Bradley just seems to do it a little better. The big key here, Bradley does not allow second chance points. Really good on the defensive glass, limiting opposing offensive boards. And Illinois State, dead last in the Missouri Valley Conference in offensive glass. So give me the Bradley Braves laying a point on the road in this one. Back in two road teams, Illinois-Chicago +10.5, Bradley -1. More picks to come, but we're going to get some on the other side from Jim Root from Three Man Weave. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirolla.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game continues here on VSiN alongside Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirolla. Hot and heavy college hoop slate coming in on a Wednesday night. Lot of action. Just gave out my two Missouri Valley Conference plays. Illinois-Chicago catching 10 and a hook at Drake, and Bradley laying a point at Illinois State. I've got two more best bets that we're going to get to throughout the show, but for now, let's take it to the Progressive guest line and get some best bets from our friend over at Three Man Weave, Jim Root, as he joins the show. Jim, how are you, man?
I'm good. Excited to be talking college hoops, you know, less than 4 weeks away from Selection Sunday, Super Bowl over. It's good to have everybody diving into the deep end of college basketball with me.
Yeah, and you're diving in really deep. Let's start with one of your plays. What is this? Over in the Horizon League, I believe the former IUPUI, right? Now IU Indy, taking on Dickie V's old Detroit team. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, I saw you go Missouri Valley. I got intimidated. I felt like I had to dig even deeper, get a little bit lower for the people out there.
Wait till we get to the Summit League, folks.
Yeah, exactly. I'm taking the road team here, IU Indy. A team that has been awful the last three seasons, but this year they've kind of had a mini rejuvenation. They're basically a team, people that are familiar with Drake, where they hired a D2 coach and he brought a bunch of starters with. That's exactly what IU Indy did. They hired the coach of University of Indianapolis. He came with a couple players, and they started the trend up. And Detroit has been a little bit of a mess with injuries. They're missing one starting guard in the backcourt. Basically a different lineup every single game out there for Detroit. And IU Indy's got a lot more consistency, some continuity from last year, given that they brought so many guys with from D2. So I'll take them as a road dog or pick them. I think it's gotten to at circa I think people are moving this line the right way. I like IU Indy there.
Jim, always great to see you. I'm sure you're getting about a million phone calls these days now that the Super Bowl's over. Like, hey, you want to come on and do this, do that? Always good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm going to go to the easier conference. We'll go to Big East. St. John's on the road at DePaul. St. John's laying 12.5, 142.5 in this game. Where are you looking?
Yeah, I'm going to lay the 12.5. I did think about going with the under because I think DePaul's just really struggling to score lately without Connor Enright. They're kind of disturber point guard. He gets in the lanes, just kind of a little menace, and he's out for the season. But DePaul is also missing their big guy, NJ Benson. He's kind of the rebounder, shot blocker, enforcer in the paint. You take both those guys away, and that pushed me over to St. John's to lay the points. It's not a good spot for St. John's for people that are really into that. You know, you're at the sandwich between going against Creighton for the top of the Big East and hosting UConn on Sunday in the rematch at Madison Square Garden. So that's not awesome. But I do think St. John's is a little bit more immune to spots because of how they play. It's a very shot volume related style where they beat you on, they get the offensive glass. They dominate the turnover battle. It's a little like Houston last night. Hey, they beat Arizona and they still went down and controlled everything against Arizona State. I think St. John's can do that here in Chicago, about, you know, a mile and a half away from me in the South Loop. I think St. John's will take care of business there against a very, very shorthanded DePaul team.
Yeah, I think they're immune to spots, too, because of the guy running the show over there. Jim, did you see the clips on social media of Rick Pitino and that Vice special that they're running on St. John's? What are your thoughts on the job Pitino's done there now in year two and what this team's ceiling might be as we start, you know, peeking at, obviously, the championship market and some Final Four markets as well come March?
Yeah, Pitino's a wizard. You just look at every record that he's breaking or tying. You know, it's the longest Big East win streak they've had since the year they went to the Final Four in the 90s. He's just been completely remarkable, reasserting himself as one of the best coaches in the sport. That halftime speech was interesting. I like kind of calling out the guys, and it tells you the relationship that he has with them, where he can kind of go at them like that, and it's a rallying cry, not a belittling type of thing. They take it positively and come out in the second half and start to look awesome. I did like his son Richard Pitino's tweet in response to it, saying he had nightmares of the day he forgot to make his bed based on Rick's rant at that point. But
I love
Rick Pitino's as good as you get in the college game, and the ceiling for St. John's, I don't think they can win a national title. I'm sorry to the New York fans that are probably rallying around the team, but there's just a little offensive potency that's missing. But I think they can go to a Final Four just the way they dominate the glass and the turnover battle, like I said, and their defense is so, so strong. I just worry once they get on that big national stage that a really, really good opponent is going to be able to outplay them.
Yeah, I think I saw, and I don't have this number right in front of me, so I want to try to be as accurate as possible, but I believe the last two teams to make the Final Four shooting 33% or less from beyond the arc were Pitino's Louisville teams in 2012 and 2013. The St. John's team shooting just 29% from deep. Look, I grew up a St. Nice. John's fan. I'm just enjoying this success, while we have it in front of us, man, because I've never seen anything like this at a St. John's in my lifetime. All right, let's get weird with it again. We were talking about some mid-major action. South Dakota. This Coyotes team is one that I had a best bet on last week against Missouri, Kansas City. It shouldn't have been a sweat, became a sweat. They can score with anyone, but they don't play a whole lot of defense. They're hosting St. Thomas, and they're 3.5-point dogs against St. Thomas. What's your play here?
There's not a whole lot of defense indeed. For a while, they were like an automatic over team this year. Yeah. And you want to talk about automatic over. The first game between these two was in regulation, 119 to 104. There was zero defense played. St. Thomas won that one at home, controlling it by 15 basically the whole way. So I am intrigued by the over, but I'm going to go with the road favorite here, St. Thomas. They are coming off a big win to assert themselves atop the Summit standings. It's a little like the St. John's spot, but I still trust them. I think they're the better team, the better coach team. They're better on both ends, and I think they're going to score at will, just like they did in the first matchup against South Dakota. I think they're at 1.55 points per possession for all the analytical nerds out there. It was crazy. Every time down, they were able to get a bucket. I think that happens again here. I'll lay the 3.5 on the road. This one is a little anti-market. I think it was 4 earlier and has come down now a half point, but I'll take it. I'll take the extra half point because I can win on 4 now. So I'll take the Tommies on the road there at South Dakota.
I love it. The Johnnies, the Tommies, just betting That's on right. all. Yeah, soon we'll work the St. Bonaventure Bonnies, my alma mater, into the conversation. Jim, I could tell by the flag behind you that you are obviously a big Crimson Tide fan, and they're taking
How dare you?
We've got Alabama, Missouri this evening, and the 15th-ranked Mizzou Tigers are now laying, I believe this one opened with Bama minus one, 1.5. Missouri now laying 1.5 in Columbia. Bama coming off a loss. They're 3-0 against the number after a loss this year. This will be their fourth such opportunity. As objectively, or I mean, frankly, as subjectively as you'd like to be, just have fun with it. What's your breakdown of this game?
Man, yeah, it is an interesting, like, is Bama going to be let down a little by the home rivalry loss, or is it going to be kind of the rallying cry when now they go on the road? I will say I've struggled a little to nail down my alma mater here, Missouri. I haven't always gotten them right this year, but I did think they would control that game at Georgia, and they impressively did. Since SEC play started, they're playing like a top 10 team in the country. If you filter Bart Torvik for January 1st, Missouri has been the slightly better team here. So I'm not stunned to see them as a favorite. But man, I think it's going to be a tough one. The amount of scoring that Alabama brings to the table, it's going to be a back and forth battle. No surprise that the total is way up there, approaching 170. That might be the most appealing part of it for me. I'm having a tough time figuring out the side. But I think it makes a lot of sense that this is going to be a seesaw back and forth battle. We just saw Alabama be ice cold from beyond the arc against Auburn. Wouldn't be surprised to see more of those shots go in. And I think Missouri can still attack some mismatches on defense with Alabama. We've got a couple weaker defenders on the floor. So I'm liking points there. I'm unwilling to commit to a side, but of course, you know who I'm rooting for.
Yeah, that's no secret with the black and gold behind you. How about as we wrap it up here, one of your alma mater's biggest rivals taking on Alabama's biggest rival, Arkansas, Auburn. The Auburn Tigers laying like 16.5 in this one. I mean, two longtime decorated SEC coaches, Coach Cal taking on Bruce Pearl. Do you think 16.5 points going up against Calipari and the Razorbacks is too many?
I do. I was kind of surprised this didn't get bet down a little bit more by the spot bettors, looking at Auburn coming off that incredible road performance, now back home. This is a scary place to back a road team. The jungle has been a house of horrors for basically the entire SEC, except Florida, who went in there and had a outstanding performance. But just the way Arkansas has been playing since Boogie Flan went out, it seems like roles have actually made a little bit more sense. Nellie Davis, the FAU transfer, has kind of asserted himself as the star. Adutiro has been a tough guy to stop at that four spot. Maybe Auburn struggles with his athleticism. I just think it's too many points given the spot, given the way that Arkansas is playing. I think they can hang around there, which, again, scary and in the jungle, but I like the Razorbacks there.
Jim, absolutely fantastic stuff, man. I really appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it, guys.
Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Second Chance Points. Our friend Jim Root from over at the Three Man Weave. Kelly, do you think he's going to refuse to ever come on again after I made that Alabama quip?
He better not, or else you're going to screw up my whole next few months. That's for sure. But
That's what I try to do, man. I got 2 weeks on the show. I'm like, how many things can I mess up in two weeks?
I burn this whole thing down to the ground. Yeah, you better be careful with that Bama bet today. You work with a lot of Mizzou grads. There's a lot on the show.
My landlord might kick me out with having Bama as one of my best bets. We'll dive into why I love the Crimson Tide up next. It's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirola.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
HedgeBoost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. Folks, that means no usage fees, no minimums either. You can earn cashback rewards. You get 100% approval for all betting deposits. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with the promo code ANG. Deposit $25 and HedgeBoost will match your deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Make sure you head there today. As a numbers game keeps it rolling, he's Kelly Bedlin. I'm Joe Cirola with you on this Wednesday morning, February 19th, taking you through a college hoops heavy week because, well, Kelly, there's not a whole lot else going on.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, NBA's back tonight. I'm excited. My little break from that's over.
I've been enjoying your college hoops contributions the last week.
Oh, have you? There's a lot there. Yeah, a lot of meat on that bone.
Oh, man, I love it. There's nothing that I find more entertaining than breaking down, you know, the University of Missouri at Kansas City has lost 9 of their last 10 games, and they've only covered 2 of those last 10. And then hearing Kelly go, but how could you bet against the Kangaroos?
And then I was figuring out Corpus Christi geography the other day. Yeah, that was
right.
Good.
Confusing Galveston and Corpus Christi.
Hey, it's on the water, Joe. There's some islands there, I'm sure.
There's oil near there.
Come on.
I love it. We've gotten to 2 of my college hoops best bets, but no more delaying on the big game. We just talked about it with our friend Jim Root over at Three Man Weave. Alabama, Missouri. Obviously, that's the main course tonight when you look at this jam-packed, exciting slate. Alabama's the play for me. They're catching 1.5. I was kind of surprised. I got them last night +1.5 at -110, standard vig. The money line was -110.
Okay, that's an easy pro tip. Take the 1.5.
Yeah, right? I was very surprised the way that shook out. I don't know if that was an error or not, as you see, you're about to see on your screen here at Circa. Now it's +1 at -$0.10, money line -$0.05. I'd still take the point just in case there's something freaky and you get the push. When it comes down to, Kelly, these are the 2 best covering teams in SEC play. Missouri, actually the best. They're 10-2 in conference play. Bama, 8-4 against the number. But Alabama, after a loss, 3-0 against the number. Now, when I first was capping this at the Open, Bama was laying 1.5, so this didn't apply. Now they're underdogs. Well, what are they as underdogs against the number? 4-0 as dogs. 6-3 also on the road against the spread. Missouri is a much better road cover team than they are at home. They're just 4-3 straight up in their last 7. Now, obviously, when a spread is this close, like the Bradley game I like against Illinois State, or like this game, you pay attention to straight up numbers and straight up trends as well as against the spread trends. So it's practically a pick 'em. Mizzou's won just 4 out of 7. Bama's won 10 out of 12. And Mizzou is home favorites just 8-8 against the number. Like I said, similarly to Bama, they tend to cover more on the road. Both of these teams profile pretty similarly to one another. They shoot the ball really well. Bama gets up a lot more volume, while Mizzou is a slightly higher percentage shooting team. But when you talk about volume, Bama's getting about 8 more shots per game up there. They also dominate the glass. They're +8 in rebound margin. Mizzou's a modest +2. Both teams get to the line well, averaging 27 free throws a game. That's both of those marks are atop the SEC. So like I said, similar profiles. Bama's ability to get second chance points, crash in the glass. Also, and there's no science behind this point, but they're coming off a game against Auburn where they shot really poorly. I struggled to see that being the case back-to-back contests for this Bama team. So, they shot poorly, still got up in the 80s. I think if they get up to that 90 mark in this contest, as the total would indicate being right around 170, it's very possible. I struggled to see Missouri keeping up. I think it's going to be a tight one. I like Bama probably in that 4 to 6 point range in terms of margin of victory, but I think at the end of the day, they're just going to have a little too much for Mizzou.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised when I saw your send me over your stuff, and just seeing plus next to anything with Bama right now is pretty impressive. That I was interested to hear what Jim had to say about this game. I might be joining you on the Bama side tonight. I mean, this is I have not seen much Missouri Bama. I've seen it's like you said, the shooting when it comes in volume, especially with the Bama team, you're gonna have your bad days, you're gonna have your good days, and usually you kind of expect that next couple games it's gonna even itself out. So I would be a leader for Bama for me. I might actually be joining you here on this one. I was waiting for Jim to see it and say no, Missouri, this is a good spot, yada yada yada. But now he was kind of, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, well, Kelly, I will say this: if you do tail me and you do make money on Alabama in this one, you're gonna have to help me move out of my place, because I'd have a feeling my landlord and Mizzou alum Ben Wilson might evict me after he sees how hard I'm hitting Bama in this one tonight. And if Bama loses, he might evict me because he might not get his rent money. I'll just say that.
Oh, Benny.
Kelly, let's enter your domain here. We've got second half NBA action officially tipping off tonight. Lakers, yeah. Hornets, but the rest of the league gets going tomorrow And yesterday we spent time looking at some Eastern Conference win totals. We'll spend more time on this as the show progresses. But how about the Western Conference? Is there a team that really stood out to you where you feel like you had an edge?
Yeah, I got a few that I wrote down that I think could be I could talk myself into bets. Didn't end up betting any of these though, Joe. This was not the Raptors of yesterday, that's for sure. Boy, did that get around yesterday. That got steamed up pretty quick. I think Steve Fezzik was on after us.
Where is that now?
At 27.5, and I think it's juiced to the over on that Raptors win total most places. So, yeah, four out west, and I can kind of go through these at different points here through the show. But Lakers under 49.5, T-Wolves over 45.5, Suns under 40.5, and Trailblazers over 30.5. Just kind of hitting some of the teams at the top real quick, kind of like we did yesterday, Joe, with the ones out east. Oklahoma City, kind of like we talked about with Boston. This is another one where they got a their posted win total to go over. They got to hit 21 wins in the last 28 games. I'd still be leaning over on Oklahoma City.
I'm feeling that way with Boston. They have to go 21-6 to get to their over 59.5. And you know what? Last year, same situation. They went 21-6 after the All-Star break.
Yeah. So 64.5. Look, I've already got enough bets on Thunder win total, so I'm not rushing to make that. But yeah, as far as some of the ones that really jumped out to me, Lakers under 49.5. Look, we talked about it a little bit a couple segments ago. Yeah, it's kind of going against one of the hotter teams in 2025, but reminder, they just overhauled their entire roster, and we really don't have a great feel for what this team's going to be like yet. And I do expect I would be more scared of this team once they get into the playoffs with LeBron and Luka firing on all cylinders than what they're going to look like down the stretch of the regular season. Depth is still a bit of an issue. Rebounding is an issue. Defense is going to be an issue. So with all those kind of question marks, and until we kind of see something solidified about what they're going to look like with this rotation, it would have to be an under for me. They got to hit 18 wins in their last final 30 games to go over here. Six toughest remaining strength of schedule. The other one, if you were going to bet this, I'd probably consider sprinkling something on there to make the play-in tournament odds, because if you kind of look where the West stands.
Get out, really?
Yeah, where the West standings are at, if they really go under this mark, then they're going to be right in that play-in fight, and you're getting like plus 320 for them to make the play-in tournament. So, look, the Western Conference standings are pretty bunched right now, and I wouldn't make too much of where the Lakers are specifically at, of what seed they're at in them right now. So it would be a Lakers under for me.
So, you know, Kelly, look, and obviously we've got a little over an hour left, so we'll get to all these in depth. I want to give them the time they deserve, but your Lakers play-in tournament comment just really was intriguing to me, because what are the odds on that?
Plus 320.
Okay, because what I was going to say is you can essentially bet on the same notion or the same gut feeling that you have in so many different ways nowadays. I was going to say, if you think the Lakers fall into that 7 to 10 seed range, where do you see the Clippers finishing? Because what are the odds for the Clippers to win the division? Would those be better odds than plus 320? Or I thought I saw maybe plus 280 for the Clippers to win the Pacific? Because I'd imagine that's what you think will happen then, if you think the Lakers fall, no?
Yeah, I do think the Clippers, look, if I had to go any direction with the Clippers, it would be over on their win total. So yes, it would be them rising up. And yes, division odds right now, Clippers plus 310. So pretty comparable. You're getting a little bit better price on the Lakers to slide into that play-in, but that might be a safer bet if you just look the Clippers route. The one with that, when we talk that division, I'm confident in the Clippers. I am not nearly as high on the Kings as a lot of people. I think the Suns are toast, as me and you have talked about. We'll
Kings
get to
can
that one.
Score, but I mean, they can't stop opponents.
I'm not a believer.
And don't they have the second most difficult schedule behind only Phoenix?
Yeah, I believe they are up there. The problem is I don't know what to make of this Lakers and Warriors team yet, and I'm not fully. Discounting either of them, but I'm not really a huge believer in either of them yet. I've got to see. I think we're making too much. I really do believe this Warriors team could be something, but we got to see more than four games. We're reacting way too much over the results of four games with Jimmy Butler.
Talk about Phoenix to me before we wrap up the segment here.
Man, this is all you, man. Everything you were saying about Phoenix yesterday, it checked all the boxes. I mean, it's very true. You're talking under 40.5. They got to win 15 more, and they're 28 remaining games. You seized on it yesterday. The toughest remaining strength of schedule. We've been seeing this team all year with this big three not really be able to come together and work out. What, you wonder where the heads are at of Bradley Beal and Kevin Durant after being mentioned in trade talks throughout the entire year. There's just, this is not a bet for me, Joe, but there's no way I could look over on this team. Just none. So it would be under or nothing. Definitely one of the ones that stuck out to me.
A lot of people had Phoenix winning the division preseason. I thought they would. They might not even make the play-in. More NBA with JVT, another hour of a numbers game with Joe Cirillo and Kelly Bidlin up next.